Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. There's something very significant about that word, words. Because we talk about the Word of God, right? We say, this is the Word of God. And so we accept it in its totality, but then somebody comes along and they change some words in the Word. And Jesus said, don't change the words, because my words shall not pass away. The devil showed up as a serpent, slimy and slithering like he is. And he said to Eve that God did not say what you thought he said. What happened? Just change one word. God said to Adam, on the day that you shall eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. And Satan came along and he said, you shall not surely die. Just change one word. Just added one word. The book of Revelation says that we shouldn't add to or take away from it. Said we'll be blessed for studying it, but cursed for changing it. Isn't that what it says? That's what it says. So look, when he says the words, my words, I believe that he meant all of his words. And we can't change them. We can't change the words of Jesus. He said what he said, and he meant what he said. Verse 36. But of the day, of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse 39, this is so important. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Look at what he says in verse 39. And they knew not. How could they not know? Noah was preaching about it for 120 years. Noah was saying something that was so incredible that nobody believed it. You know why? Because the Bible tells us that when God created the earth, that there was this envelope around the earth in the atmosphere of water. And there was no rain that fell from the sky. But in those days, a mist came up from the earth like dew and watered the ground. That's what the Bible said. There was no rain. Rain didn't fall. Was no precipitation. That whole thing we learned in school about evaporation and precipitation, they didn't have to learn that in those days because it wasn't true. And so they didn't have rain, and then Noah came along saying, water's going to fall out of the sky, and they said, what? You got to be kidding me. Where do you get this stuff? Noah said, water's going to fall out of the sky. They said, you're crazy. No, he said, water's going to fall out of the sky. They said, no way. That's not going to happen. It's never happened before. Kind of like when we talk about the rapture, right? It's never happened. You're right. It's never happened before. It's going to happen one time. He preached for 120 years, but verse 39, Matthew says, Jesus speaking, they knew not. They knew not because they weren't listening to the preaching. They knew not because they rejected the preaching. They knew not because they didn't go to the preaching. Ooh, boy. Well, what'd that preacher preach? I don't know. I ain't going. What'd the preacher preach? I don't know. I was busy that day. Well, what's the preacher preaching? You know, the great thing about our church is you don't have to be present, even though you should be. You don't have to be present. There are a lot of people who can't be. But you know, if today you decided that it's not because you were shut in, not because you couldn't be here, but because you wanted to go to the beach, you know what you could do? You could be tuned in live at the beach. We wouldn't see you, but you could see us. Isn't that great? You can get the preaching when you're not even here. If you had to miss today because you were working, and we got one of our guys, and he said, I had to work today, and he said, but I'll catch it as soon as I get out of work. He can watch it later. You can watch it tomorrow. In fact, you could come and watch it again. There's no excuse for us not to get the message. But the Bible says that Noah preached 120 years, and they didn't get the message. They didn't know. Water started falling out of the sky. They said, what's that? That's that stuff Noah's been telling you about. They didn't know because they didn't want to know. Number one, they ignored the preaching. Number two, they ignored the signs. Tell me, why is it going to flood? Tell me, why is water going to fall out of the sky? Why is it going to happen? He said, because people have gotten away from God. And God is sick of it. And then you think about it. You make two people and you go, all right, these two people know me. And they see me and they're going to tell their children about me. And then you show up and you visit the children and you go, I'm real. You're real. I'm real. God is real. Yes. Okay. And then they have children and we stop getting that record at that point. Right? We can see the Lord in the presence of Adam and Eve. We can see the Lord in the presence of Cain. We see the Lord then. But after that, we don't see him. We don't have record of him coming down and meeting with them. And so they have kids and they have grandkids. And 1656 years passes from the time that the Lord walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. 1600 years. That's a long time, isn't it? And we've reached the point at that. And look, America's only been around 230 years at this point. 276, 250 years. Been around a while. A minute. 250 years. If my math's off, you can let me know later. I'm just going by the cuff. If America's been around 250 years, and those people that came over on that ship, they all signed an agreement, said, we're going to follow God. And then they organized these colonies, and they had to fight to agree with what God really wanted. And, of course, Rhode Island was the only one that said, you can believe whatever you want to believe and come here. And that's the only place the Baptists could go because nobody else wanted us. Because we believe that we had to get saved before you get baptized, that baptism, infant baptism was not biblical. And so they fought against the Baptists, and the Baptists did it, you know, the Bible way. And of course then, you know, we have America, 1776, right? Now we've got a country 250 years later. Do they still believe in God? Did the children teach the grandchildren to teach the great-grandchildren to teach the great-great-grandchildren? And have we handed our heritage down for the last 250 years? Over 1,656 years, the heritage of godliness and faith in God was lost. In fact, the Bible says that God looked about and there was only one man he found that was still faithful to the truth. And that man was Noah. The only reason that Noah's kids got on the ark is because they were his kids. Because they weren't believers like Noah. They didn't have the confidence in God like Noah. I'm telling you, it matters what you believe, and it's going to matter to your children what you believe. We better believe it, and we better hand it down, and we better live it as an example before them so that they can see God's way works. But if they see us come to church, pious and holy, and then as soon as we leave, before we're even out of the parking lot, we're criticizing the preacher, that's a really bad thing. Don't do that. And we're criticizing the musicians and the singing, and we're criticizing, you know, sister sings louder than me behind me or whatever. And we criticize what somebody was wearing and who, oh, did you see who come with them today? Oh, you know, all, if we're critics, as soon as we get in the car, our kids are going to say, that ain't real. I don't need church because that ain't real. But if they see us faithful to God, faithful not only when it's church time, but when it's daily devotion time, not just when it's daily devotion time, but when it's prayer time, or when we just need to call out to God, or when we just need to shout praise to God, if they see that it's really who we are, and it's really changed who we are, and they say, that's real, I need some of that. And they just grow up. You ought to hear the little ones as they go in to pray with the bigger ones at night. I'll go in there and say a prayer, and we have a standard prayer that we say at night. And I'll... And Emmy, now she'll come in behind me. And you can hear her going along with, amen! Right? They get it. You know why they get it? Because it's demonstrated before them. I don't mind my Sunday school teachers hearing what goes on in my house. The kids come to Sunday school, they tell on all the parents. I can't take my kids to Sunday school, they're going to tell. Let them tell. Let them tell. Noah's kids made it because Noah was a good example. Are your kids going to make it if they follow your example? Are your neighbors going to make it if they follow your example? Are your coworkers going to make it if they follow your example? It says they knew not. How could they not know? Noah's been preaching 120 years. The signs are all about us. The world's getting worse. It's not getting better. Had to walk by that big monstrosity of a ship that dude was building in the middle of the desert. What are you building? A house? Kind of a house, but it's going to float. Float where? When the flood comes. What flood? When the water falls out of the sky. I ain't listening to you anymore. Turn him off. He's crazy. They rejected the message that had been handed down through the generations. And probably, like today, some generations stop handing it down. They rejected the safety of the ark. The Bible says they knew not. But they had to be ignorant on purpose. The Bible says of this, they are willingly ignorant. Have we just chosen not to believe it? Is that really where, when it comes to eternity, let me assure you something. Let me guarantee you something. If there's no rapture between now and the end of your life, you're going to die. That's guaranteed. None of us are getting out of here alive. Lest the Lord calls us up in the rapture. But the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. It's appointed. And after this, the judgment. Don't worry about getting judged now, but know this, judgment is coming. We're going to stand before God. Don't be willingly ignorant. Let me tell you, God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that's you soever, right? And me soever, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You could pray right now from your heart to God and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me and rose on the third day, and I ask You to forgive my sins and save my soul. Be my Savior and my God. I give my life You. You know God will write your name in the book of life and assure you a home in heaven. Don't be willingly ignorant. Not one of us in this room or joining online within the sound of this preaching can say we didn't know. They knew not till the flood came and took them all away. Why? Well, it says they were eating and drinking. That's not just in the simple sense of nutrition. That is gluttony and drunkenness. None of that goes on today, right? Yeah, it does. You know, and it really upsets me, and I guess I'm just that way. But you know, when somebody says they're a Christian, I don't expect to see them on social media holding a beer. I don't expect to see them anywhere holding a beer. I mean, that's just me. Our church covenant says that we don't drink alcohol as a beverage. Doesn't say you can't take it if you need it for medication, but you can't. But you're not supposed to just drink it to be drinking it. You say, well, Pastor, you're narrow-minded. You're right. If you just figured that out, you're slow. I don't expect people that say they're Christians to be holding a beer and advertising for the beer companies. I don't expect that. Alcohol can destroy your family. May you say, I got it under control. I only have, okay, I don't want to argue with you, but I'm telling you, it's bad stuff. Get caught up in life. They said they were eating, they were drinking, they were gluttonous, and they were drunken. And they were marrying. Oh, goodness. They were marrying. They were committing their lives. They were planning their futures. They were given in marriage. They're giving their children, you know, their daughters to be married to men. All of this is normal. You know what he was saying? They were just living. It was nothing unusual. They were just living life. But they were living it with an unawareness, a lack of awareness of God. Guys, we got to think about God on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday all week, not just on Sunday morning. We got to pray every day. In fact, he said, pray without ceasing. We read it this morning in 1 Thessalonians 5. We need to always have an open line to God. Get so caught up in life and going to work and earning a living and taking care of our families that we don't have an awareness of God. You ought to be talking to God every day, all the time, singing to Him, listening to Him, aware. They knew not until the flood came. And then He lays it out. He said, well, Lord, how sudden is it going to happen? He said, I can tell you how sudden it's going to happen. There's going to be people at work and one of them's going to disappear. There's going to be people out in the field and one of them's going to be gone. In the mill, one of them's going to be gone. And we'll make it even more personal than that. See, one's wide open in the field. Then you got an enclosed place in the mill. And then you got an enclosed place called the bed, right? He said, it'd be two in a bed, and one of them's going to be. I hate to think that I knew that the rapture was coming, that I knew that it was real, and I know my wife's not saved, and not at least try to tell her. And then one morning she's going to wake up, and I'm not going to be there. Now, look, I can't make her believe. I can't make her be a Christian. But I can share with her what the Bible says. And I can ask her, what would you do? Well, look at this verse right here. Read this book, this verse right here. It says that two were in the bed, and one was taken, and the other was left. Right? So how's that going to happen? What would happen if that was you going? What would happen if you woke up and I was gone? What would you think? She'd probably just think you ran away. He says in verse 42, watch, therefore. By the way, that one, the ones in the bed, I guess that's not in Matthew, is it? Y'all are still looking for it. It's not in there. But it is in one of the other Gospels. He says, one shall be taken and the other left. Look at verse 42. Watch, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. You notice what he didn't say? He didn't say what day. He didn't say what year. He said what hour. We don't know when he's coming. Y'all know when he's coming? He's coming soon, I bet. You know, that's what Paul said. I bet he's coming soon. He didn't come yet. But I guarantee you this, since he hadn't come yet, it's closer now than it was before. I said, Pastor, you really believe this with all my heart? Because that's just exactly what, not only did Paul say it in 1 Thessalonians, Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 24. He says in verse number 43, know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. There's intelligence that gets out there. News comes to me and it'll say at the top, not for public distribution. It's just for you to know, to be aware, to be on the lookout. But don't tell everybody because we don't want to create panic. I know some of y'all in here see those emails or have seen them. So what happens if I get that email and I don't pay attention? What happens if I get that information and I don't pay attention to what's going on? Well, then when it happens, I'll say, I didn't know it was going to happen. But yeah, you did. You got an email that said it was probably going to happen. It said be on the lookout for it. Everybody in this room is on notice that the Lord's going to come back and it's going to be just that quick. And if you're not saved when he comes back, you're not going. You're going to have to stick around for what's coming afterwards. Which, by the way, you think global warming's bad now. Just wait. Global warming's just warming up. Meteor, hail the size of bowling balls. I mean a hailstorm with bowling ball-sized hail falling out of the sky. Where can I go to get protected from that? The drought and the polluted water, death. The stench of death. You think the pandemic was bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. I don't plan to be around for all that. But we're going to be called out of here just that quickly. And if we had known, he says if the man had known that the burglar was coming, he would have watched the door and not let him come in and steal from him and break up his house. Verse 44, be ye also ready, for in an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful, wise servant, verse 45, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Let me ask you a question, church. What does God want us to do? Well, he's got a whole book. But specifically, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I am with you always. Specifically, that is the commission to the church. Those of you been in the military, you understand what a commission is. This is what you're here to do. This is what you must do. This is your mission. Church, that's our mission. Preach the gospel. Share the message of hope, love, and forgiveness. The message of salvation. And when people accept Christ as their Savior, they need to bury their past in the waters of baptism, risen to walk in newness of life, to live for God. He said, oh yeah, who's God going to bless? He's going to bless the one doing. Not believing it, doing it. Doing it. Verse 48, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, ah, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, just picking on people and bullying people and aggravating and instigating. Y'all don't know anybody like that, do you? And to eat and to drink with the drunken. Again, the gluttony and the drunkenness. And look at what he said. He's one of us, but he's hanging out with the ones that are in the world. And he's not telling them about Jesus. He's just one of the guys. Just one of the ladies. Fitting in, blending in, because they're not sharing Jesus in those situations. Verse 50, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's he saying? He's saying if we abandon the mission and forsake self-discipline and become people of apathy and complacency, we're going to get caught unaware. I've never really think much of, we talk about rewards in heaven. I just really, that's kind of beyond me. Guys, I'm not looking to be rich in heaven. No more than I'm trying to be rich here. Just trying to live. And when I get to heaven, I'll just be glad to be there with God. I'll be glad to see y'all there too, so come with me. I'd be glad to just enjoy the fellowship and the love. And I'm not thinking about rewards and jewels and crowns and all that kind of. I know some people really focus. I don't focus on that stuff. But the point is this, and this is where it's important. He said he's going to reward that servant who was faithfully doing. And then he said that one that had given up on waiting for the Lord, he said he's going to get his portion with the hypocrites. What's his portion? His portion is his rewards. Not talking about heaven. Not talking about he's going to go to hell. No, he's a servant. He's saved. But when it comes time for the blessings of God and the acknowledgement and the recognition of God, he said, those ones who gave up on waiting for me, they're not going to get anything. It's incredible to me, and I've talked about this many times. I give up just before the answer shows up. Y'all ever do that? As a coach, I always like, man, when's this inning going to be over? This has got to be almost over. Right? Y'all could tell I wasn't winning or I wouldn't have cared. And we think, oh, I'm about to quit. Here's the problem. We quit just before we get out of the storm. We quit just before we get to victory. We give up just before God gives us the answer. Let me tell you something. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up on His blessing. Don't give up on Him showing up and showing out. Don't give up on Him calling us home. Don't give up. I'd hate to think that I just gave up and said, He ain't coming. And then boom, 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 boom. And then get there and He says, Derek, you gave up. You quit believing in this, and you quit preaching it, and you quit living. You started beating up people and being ugly and being an instigator and aggravator and agitator. And I put you there for a purpose. I gave you a mission. I gave you a commission. I wanted you to do what I told you to do. But you gave up on waiting for me. Don't be a quitter on God, because God hasn't quit on you. Would you stand? Heaven is real. The rapture is truth. The Bible is truth. And let me assure you of this, Jesus is coming back. When He comes back, it's not to establish His kingdom in Jerusalem. That's later. When He comes back this time, He's coming in the clouds. And He's calling us home. It may be that He calls you home, just as He has everyone else up to this point individually when it's your turn. Either way, after this, after that, we're going to stand before Him and answer, give an account. If you're here this morning and you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, you could do that right now. From your heart to God's heart. You don't have to walk the aisle if you don't understand. I'd be glad to pray with you. You can come down here and we'll talk about it. But from your heart to God's heart, you can say, God, I trust in You. I give myself to You. I know Jesus died for my sin. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. I give myself to You. Maybe you've already prayed and you've been saved, but now you're ready to bury the past in the waters of baptism. Buried with Him in baptism. Risen to walk in newness of life. When you're ready to be baptized, We can take care of that. Are you ready? Or maybe there's something else. Maybe you've got a burden that you just want to come and pray at the altar. You want me to pray with you? I'd be glad to pray with you. But you can talk to God where you stand. God, I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want to fall short. I renew my commitment today to running this race all the way to the finish line. This is your opportunity to come. Would you come? As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, and the other left. Let's go to the Lord and dismiss a prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?